Thank you, Steve. I would ask for an interest in your prayers tonight. I know that I need them, and I haven't felt very good all day today, so if you see me leave, you know why. And I think the sermon I have tonight is probably meant, probably maybe more for me. I've heard other people say that, but it probably is meant for me more than anyone tonight. Brother Steve called the other night during the week and asked me if I would preach tonight, and I did make it a matter of prayer what I might say tonight. And so I was looking through the scriptures. I went to, came to the book of Helaman, and then the fifth chapter. And I think I want to read a few verses here, but I think I will start at the first verse. Behold, now it came to pass in the 69th year of the reign of judges over the people of the Nephites, that Nephi, the son of Helaman, returned to the land of Zarahemla from the land northward. For he had been forth among the people who were in the land northward and did preach the word of God unto them, and did prophesy many things unto them. And they did reject all his words, insomuch that he could not stay among them, but returned again into his own land of his nativity. And seeing the people in a state of such awful wickedness, and those Gadianton robbers filling the judgment seats, having observed the power and authority of the land, laying aside the commandments of God, and not in the least aright before him, doing no justice unto the children of men, condemning the righteous because of their righteousness, and letting the guilty and wicked go unpunished because of their money. And moreover, to be held in office at the head of government to rule and do according to their wills, that they might get gain and glory of the world. And I think we probably can see that somewhat in the world today. And moreover, that they might the more easily commit adultery and steal and kill and do according to their own wills. Now this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. And he did exclaim in agony of his soul, "Oh, that I could have had my days, days when my father Nephi first came out of the land of Jerusalem, that I could have joyed with him in the promised land. Then were his people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to be led to do iniquity. And they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. Yea, if my days could have been in those days, then would my soul have joyed in the righteousness of my brethren." And the last couple of verses there is really what I wanted to kind of bring out tonight. That the Nephi wished that he could have been, his days could have been when the days of his father, or the first Nephi came here, when the people were easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, slow to be led to do iniquity, and they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And that's how I believe that we want to be. We do want to be easily entreated. We do want to keep the commandments of God, slow to be led to iniquity, and we do want to be quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And I think that's important because that's what they've been given to us. They've been given to us for our help here, and I believe that's what we want to do. And I believe when I was kind of reading that, thought came to me that I believe it was Brother Buzz that gave a sermon, and I'm not sure of that, though, that we live in a time here now that a lot of people, our brothers and sisters before us, and I think ourselves, had looked forward to. They looked forward to the time, or close to the time when the Lord would appear in the latter days, and they looked forward to that time, and we are in it. So I think it really should make us think of what we need to be doing, of following his words, his commandments, of doing those things that are right before him. But I also believe it should be a joy to us knowing the time we live in. Well, excuse me, I also had a thought that I think a lot of times we're sad also in this time because of a lot of our brothers and sisters that are not here with us, like tonight or worshiping with us right now, and I think that saddens us a lot. And I think that's something that should be in our prayers. I'd like to go over to book or page 155 in the Book of Mormon. I think I'll just read a few verses here. I think this is kind of I kind of take it as a warning, and I'm taking it to me. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. And that's something I think that I need to be careful of, that I am not at ease in Zion, that I'm not at ease here, that I am not at ease in this ministry, because it's important, and in this church, and that I need to be about the Lord's work. We need to be careful that we aren't at ease. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of his and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And then fine, woe be unto him, unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here low and there low. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from him that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. I kind of wanted to bring out there again, and this one is the 37th verse. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. And I believe that's what we want to do. We want to hearken unto his precepts and listen to his counsel. That's why he gives it to us, is for our help. And I believe it is the desire of each of us to be doing those things that are pleasing before him. I'd like to go over in a few pages here and read a scripture here that is familiar to us. And this is on page 162 in Second Book of Nephi. I think I'll start with the 24th verse. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he has made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten to this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. And I had the thought that came to me is, I know when I was younger, I wonder if I had that feeling that after I was baptized, that was all that was needed. I know for a long, some time that I didn't come to church or attend the services, and I know I've said that before, but I believe the Lord did touch me, and I think that's important that we make this a matter of prayer. I'm not saying that's what is the trouble, but that the Lord would touch their hearts and that they would, those who are not with us, and that they may realize and know where they need to be. But I think they need the Lord, and they need us, and we need them with us. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And I believe that's what the Lord instructed me, is that I needed to be coming to church. I needed to be reading the scriptures. And I needed to be doing those things that are pleasing before him. And I believe that is the desire of each of us, to be doing those things that are pleasing before him. And in this 29th verse, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And I believe that's what we do need. We need this hope and a love of God and of all men. I'd like to turn over to read just a couple verses. On page 767 in the book of Moroni, the 7th chapter. Maybe I'll just read one verse. Behold, I say unto you, that ye have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. And I believe that is where our hope is. And that's in the Lord. It's in our Savior. I'd like to turn over also to Mark. And our brother read this morning, I believe also in Matthew, but I just went to Mark, that we are to have a love of God and of all men. And I know I've read this often, but maybe it's because it's something I need in my life. And Jesus answered him, first of all, the commandments is this, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all our mind, and with all that, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it, is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And I wonder if my life shows this, or do I show this love for my Heavenly Father and those around us and my brothers and sisters? Is it something evident in my life? If it isn't, and it needs to be, it's something each of us need to have evident and at work in our lives. I'd like to turn also into 3 John and read another scripture that's familiar, and it seems like this to me means more each time I read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I wonder, if I really realize that great love and I know I need to. And I'd like to also read a song that came to my mind when I was reading through here, and this is number 188. I stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me, confused at the grace that he so fully proffers me. I tremble to know that for me he was crucified, that for me a sinner he suffered, he bled, and died. I marvel that he would descend from his throne divine to rescue a soul so rebellious and proud as mine, that he should extend his great love unto such as I, sufficient to own, to redeem, and to justify. I think of his hands pierced and bleeding to pay the debt. Such mercy, such love, and devotion can I forget? No, I will praise and adore him at the mercy seat until at the glorified throne I kneel at his feet. Oh, it is wonderful that he should care for me enough to die for me. Oh, it is wonderful, wonderful to me. And I know I've said it before, but I wonder a lot of times if I really fully comprehend the love that he has for us, that the Lord has for us. I'd like to continue over in Romans. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures, and again, I believe it's uplifting to us, or should be. This is starting with 8th chapter and 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And to me, that should be so uplifting, that no one can separate us from this love. And that we don't want to be, or myself anyway, don't want to be doing anything that would separate me from his love. That it would be on my part that I would do. I'd like to go back in the Book of Mormon and just read that verse that I read earlier again. Then were the people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to be led to do iniquity. And they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And again, I believe that's how we want to be. We want to be quick and to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And I'd like to read just a few more scriptures here. Things that we need to be doing, watching out for. I'd like to turn over in Romans. In the 12th chapter. And read some out here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think that's something that's important, to not be conformed or come similar or to come in agreement with the things in the world. Because there are so many things, I think, today that are drawing us away from the Lord. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'd like to also go into Galatians. And read just a couple verses here, starting in the 5th chapter. In the 22nd verse is the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe this is something that each one of us wants in our lives. Wants it part of our lives and things that we are doing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life eternal. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And again, I believe we need to have this love for our brothers and sisters, as it says here, and a special love for each other, to help each other and care for each other and lift each other up in time of need. I'd like to turn over, in Ephesians, and read just a couple verses. Now then I'll go to Colossians. And I think I'll start with the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And I believe that's what we want to do. We want to seek those things from Christ. We want those things that are right. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. And so often I think that's something we see today, that people are setting their affections on the things of the earth. But ours needs to be a things from the Lord. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I believe that's what we want to do, is to appear with him in glory. And I'd like to go back and read this verse again. Then were his people easily to be entreated. And I believe this is how we want to be, or should want to be. Firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to do and to be led to do iniquity. And they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And I believe that's what we want to do, is be quick to hearken unto his words. And I'd like to close with just reading a little bit out of it's the East Local History that was published in The Advocate, and it's just one little paragraph. So it has been that from the very humble beginnings that we can now worship in a little, beautiful little white church at the crossroads. Here to please God, only the restored gospel shall be preached and studied. All else which God said was not pleasing to him shall be kept out. May we grow spiritually and in grace before our God. He placed his approval when it was dedicated to him. God bless our efforts to do his will, or to do his bidding, and may the praise and glory be his. And I believe our Kenneth Smith wrote this. Thank you.